just to get down. Devin now. I wake up just to get down. Devin now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Ranked by their stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. The knees of the bees, man, people's champ, man, true now. I trust them with everything, every conference giving me confidence. Hipping is hopping and really no stopping them. Make you a champion, y'all put a sock in it, woo! But this is life, bro, they're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devi crew.
I wake up just to get down. Devi now. I wake up just to get down. Devi now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Devi Happy Hour. This is episode 14. We are your source of knowledge for Devi football and as it pertains to fantasy football and things of the sort. Real quick, you can find us on Twitter at Devi Happy Hour, and our email is devihappyhour@gmail.com. We're always happy to get to hear from you guys and hear if you have any questions. We have a bunch of them to go through this week. First, I want to introduce my co-host, Andrew. Andrew, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great. Sniped Kerryon Johnson from you in a fantasy league earlier, so I couldn't be happier.
Right, I didn't catch it till later, but I don't know if I'd have took him, probably. That's not all we have tonight. We got another big announcement tonight. We now have a third co-host. This guy is going to be with us all the time. We're going to kind of all three of us be on here. Sometimes one of us might take a show off or something, but our third host is Matt Griffith. You can find him on Twitter. You know him as Commish McGriff. We know him as Crime Dog. So, Matt, what's up, man?
I'm so excited to be on with you fellas.
Dwight, how bad did you want to say Matt Miller there? I saw a hesitation.
I didn't.
Okay.
I for some reason was thinking Griffin. I don't know why. I do have a question.
Probably some heavy prospect.
Why do you have snowshoes on the back of your wall when you live in frickin' Fresno, man?
Because he's Joe Rogan.
You guys don't get snow? Come on, man.
All right.
Matt's Joe Rogan. He just humbly won't admit it, but he does everything that Joe Rogan does, just better.
Yeah, at the stretch, but all right, that's a pretty good compliment.
Yeah, and if you know Matt, he's been doing some, what are they called? ADP push-ups and things like that lately. Those are kind of fun.
Yeah, trying to do a little positive health movement here, so we'll see. It's starting to stick a little bit.
Yeah, I got Saquon Barkley. That's about as far as I got.
Yeah, legit.
One! Okay, Patrick Mahomes. Okay, I got it. I got two. Anyways, all right. Real quick, we got a really fun show for you this week. First, we're gonna do the news
show.
Oh yeah, we got tons and tons of info this week. So strap in. We have a lot of stuff for your ear holes. All right. First up, news and notes. We have Brew McCoy is officially transferred back to USC, at least for now. I heard Andrew talk about this on Coast to Coast the other day, so I'm not gonna beat it to death, but I'm not surprised. I don't think it's as good for him as Texas would have been, but he's a damn good prospect. So anybody else got anything to add about that? Or,
I mean, it's a win for USC. I like it, but it's a weird deal. And, I'm not sure I agree with all of it, but, hey, he's in SoCal, so here we go.
Right, and he's from the area too, so I think it seems weird in the flip-floppy thing. But as long as he settles in and plays, I think all will be forgiven in the end. You guys think he should have had to sit out this year, or?
I think doing two transfers in a year, yes, should qualify that. If you can't get a pass for that, I can't remember the player's name, whose dad's dying or his mom's dying or somebody's dying, if he can't get a pass, then Brew McCoy not making up his damn mind shouldn't get a pass. And I'm going to start referring him to Bra McCoy because literally he can't make up his mind. I'm like, Bra.
Bra.
What are we doing here? Yeah, got to make up your mind.
The NCAA rules all across the board are just, they're hard to make heads or tails of. So him being able to play, it doesn't surprise me, but, Yeah, I don't know if I agree with two transfers in one season, really.
Another big one, Shaq Smith, who was the top outside linebacker in the 2016 class. He actually was a graduate at Clemson. He transferred to Maryland, where he'll get a chance to play. He didn't play a whole lot in Clemson, and I actually really like that move. Hopefully he can get out from under. Although if he didn't fit his way in at Clemson, I wonder how much he's got left in the tank. But at least at Maryland, he'll get a chance to show if he's got anything there. But he was very, very highly regarded coming out in 2016. But it's more of an IDP thing. Hopefully it'll be an IDP thing. Frank Gore Jr. commits to Florida Atlantic. I like that move. What do you guys think of that?
Lane Kiffin's just getting all of the big names and big draws, and he's just kind of just trying to get all the eyes off of Miami and Florida and really USF, especially being down towards Miami. He's kind of got to do what he can to get some big names. So, I mean, Frank Gore Jr., if he balls out down there, I'm sure it'll help him out recruiting-wise in general.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Probably the biggest news and notes of the week. Texas A&M was the first school in the SEC to officially sell beer and wine.
Here we go.
Well, I mean, they need it. It's Texas A&M.
I don't know.
And Tyler Browning, but it's Texas A&M.
Can you imagine
A&M
being drunk trying to catch up with the way they score? Good Lord. You go to the bathroom and it'd be like 20 points if you scored. And yeah.
12th man's going to be the drunk man.
Yeah. They're the first team, but I'm sure all the other 11 or 12 will be right in there by the
I think Georgia said they're not going to.
Hmm.
But Georgia's also one of the top teams in the SEC, so what do they have to drink for?
Right. Right. All right. That's pretty much it for the news and notes. We're going to get dive right in. We got our conference preview kickoff. I was writing a wrap for this, but I suck and forgot about it. I didn't get it finished. So we're going to go through the Atlantic Coast Conference, our buys and sells, some guys we really like in the conference, some guys we don't like as much. Real quick, if you don't know who's in the ACC, Clemson and a bunch of other teams. Anyways, no.
Legit. That's the best way to sum it up.
The Atlantic Division is Clemson, Syracuse, NC State, Boston College, Florida State, Wake Forest, and Louisville. And the Coastal Division is Pitt, Georgia Tech, Virginia, Miami, Virginia Tech, Duke, and North Carolina. So not a bunch of big powerhouses in there. Florida State used to be, but definitely are not anymore. So we're going to dive right in here. Andrew, who's a quarterback that you're buying from the ACC?
I'm buying Tate Martell. And I see that, Dwight, you're going to pull a me here and have a counter-argument in a minute. So as far as what I like about Tate Martell, I really think Manny Diaz is going for bringing the swag back to the U, and he's trying to kind of just – like we talked about earlier with Florida Atlantic, you're still competing with the University of Florida, USF, for all these recruits down there. And Howard Schnellenberger talked about it before. You got to win the state of Miami. And the state of Miami, a lot of them don't want to go to Miami anymore. So to do that, I think he kind of got to get some flashback. And you can do that with QB One Star. And if you've watched that show, you probably don't like Tate Martell that much. I personally don't, from what I've seen. But according to Matt Miller, he swears by Tate and says he's a good guy. So, I mean, I'll give him a second chance at that point. But I think with Tate, talent-wise, when you got to see him last year against, I believe it was Rutgers at Ohio State, he put up 100 rushing yards, 100 passing yards, and he looked like that great dual-threat quarterback that everyone's expecting him to be coming out of Bishop Gorman. He just got stuck behind JT Barrett and Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State, and then eventually Justin Fields transferred, and he wasn't going to beat him out. So I think down at Miami, he's got to beat out Perry, but I think that's definitely possible, especially with them having a tough first game against the University of Florida and that solid defense. I'm a Florida fan, yes, but that's how it works. It's legit. They have a very, very good defense led by cornerback one, C.J. Henderson. So I think Martell's going to probably be a weapon in that game. So I think the first game he's going to kind of just flash in and then from there kind of take off.
Right. I don't disagree with that per se. Why he's a sell for me is he's going to win the job. He's going to be a good college quarterback. I just don't see it translating to the NFL. We are a Debbie show. I do not see him being a good quarterback in the NFL. Plain and simple. He's got the same size as Kyler Murray, but what I saw of him, he plays like Kyler, but he's not as under control as Kyler. He's very chaotic.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the same arm at all. Like, his arm is just, it's not anywhere near it, but the dual threat is amazing. And he's going to be a good quarterback. He's going to make that offense fun to watch. I just can't see it translating to the NFL. So I would take the name and I would sell it personally. But who is your sell? I'll let Andrew bring up his sell, and Crime Dog can kind of
talk about name recognition and who's a better sell right now than Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I had to trade in a league, and I'm probably going to get persecuted for this once this airs. I believe I traded like two Devy firsts and Travis Kelce in a tight end premium for 101. It was a startup Devy for Trevor Lawrence. Oh, and I also gave up Matt Ryan because it's super flex. So if you could fetch that for Trevor Lawrence, I'm an idiot and gave that up. If you could get that, I would totally do it every day. But I just have a horrible Trevor Lawrence obsession. So this is kind of my step one in Trevor Lawrence Anonymous.
Is that what you see, Crime Dog?
I'm value only. So, and I know you guys talked about this a couple of weeks ago, somebody selling Trevor Lawrence for Andrew Luck. And I want points today. If you can get an elite NFL asset right now that, you know, lock and load for the next whatever years, I like Trevor Lawrence as much as the next guy, but if you can flip for – I mean, he's going to get you the most return on investment at anyone else on the list we're talking about today. So I would love to keep him on my team. If I had a stout quarterback group on a super flex league and I didn't need him – I mean, I didn't need a quarterback now, I'd stash Lawrence as long as I possibly could. But if you get some ridiculous offer for him, capitalize.
On that point with points now, he's going to be eligible in 2021. Who's to say we have an NFL season in 2021 and he may have to wait another year? So like that stash, it might be 3 years down the road. Right. I mean, if you're comfortable waiting that long, by all means, go ahead. And if you can sacrifice that, you got the depth, go right ahead. But I think not a lot of teams are able to do that. And you don't want to pay for a league for 4 years to just be like, okay, we're just going to go through the ringer and see what we can do. And I mean, like I said, if you can get Andrew Luck, I mean, it's not even like Andrew Luck's that old. He's not even in – he's what? He got drafted in 2031,
I think.
13?
He's 29.
Yeah, so he's – not even 30 yet. So I would definitely – if you can get like Andrew Luck, like you said, Matt, and then like I talked about my stupid package I gave up with Kelce and Ryan and two Devy picks, you go ahead and do that.
Right, well, I was talking about –
he's eligible. I was going to say he's eligible in 2021, but what if he stays this senior year?
He could stay, or we could just have no football that year, and then he stays anyway. So there's two things going against him.
Yeah, he could end up on a team like the Cardinals, which have no line, and you know, like they did to Rosen, they had a horrible cast around him. So it may be 2023, 2024 until he's a viable quarterback. So I was actually talking with Justin McCaslin about this the other day, that the hardest thing about Devy is waiting on that value. When you've got a guy that's this damn good, and if you're that close to winning, it's hard to hold on to him. You know, you're like, you know, you can get like a small ransom for him. You could probably get like a Matt Ryan and a, you know, a couple like a Golden Tate and a, you know, a couple older guys, all for these guys that are going to push you over that hump. Yeah, sell them. I mean, it doesn't make sense, you know, but if you're not going to win, you might as well hold on to him. But yeah, it's just one of those things.
Know your team, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Crime Dog, who's your buy? Another Clemson guy.
It's like kind of goes one and the same with selling Lawrence. It's buying DJU, and you know, forgive me for all the Polynesian people, I'll butcher that last name, but it's buying him now because you know you can sell him for more in 2 years from now. You know, it's as simple as that. He's already receiving all kinds of crazy praise. He's sitting behind arguably the best college prospect out there right now for minimum 2 years. Greg Biggins from 24/7 Sports comped him to Big Ben and says he has a generational arm strength, right? And it's like, man, this kid's coming out of high school. He's already getting a ton of praise. Buy him now is the cheapest he'll be. Sell him in 2 years, you know, similar to this Lawrence deal, in hopes of doing that anyways. So I like the prospect as well, but he's not in a great situation behind Lawrence. But because that school, that program, they received the praise that they do, the attention that they do, it'd be just to return around and sell them again in a couple of years. So that's kind of where I was going with that.
Right. There's no guarantee he even stays either. I can see him as possibly using the transfer portal if he gets restless, because they also have another freshman, Tyson Fumancha, I guess is how you would pronounce it. He's another Polynesian guy and a pretty damn good prospect as well. So he's got to get through, you know, Trevor also another guy. So, yeah.
Something I've heard with him too is football is not a guarantee for him. Yeah. Bleacher Report did that feature where he's a generational arm talent in football and baseball. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the Kyler Murray thing all over again, just you got to wait a couple years for it.
All right, I'm going to go over my bias real quick. These are a couple deeper guys. I mean, I had wondered if you guys would even try to go too much deeper. Ryan Willis at Virginia Tech. He needs some work, but he's set up in a good situation there. He threw for 2,700 yards last year. His completion percentage is a little rough, but he also had a lot of drops last year. He's in a prime spot in Virginia Tech under Justin Fuente. The offense came back with like almost their entire receiving core, including Damon Hazleton, which is a guy I'm really high on as well. They got a couple four-star freshmen as well. They have a really, really easy early schedule. Great size guy, 6'4", 225. He's got pretty decent arm and touch. Accuracy is the biggest issue. And if he can cure that, I mean, he still had some pretty decent numbers last year. An older guy, he's a redshirt senior. So, yeah, but I like him. And then I also like Tommy DeVito at Syracuse. He popped in a couple games last year in relief of Dungy and had a couple really good games against Baylor, I think was the big one. He lit up the spring game. I mean, he looked sick in the spring game. He was 13 of 16 for 200 yards and two touchdowns. Really strong arm, good touch, moves well in the pocket. So he's another guy that I could see. The Orange are making moves. I like where they're at. They're, you know, one, I think they're ranked 23rd and one in 20, like just out of the 25 and the other. They won 10 games in 2018. So I like the team around him and where they're going in that division. And I mean, they're the only, I think probably the best, second best team in the ACC probably. So
I like Ryan Willis. I like that you threw him in there because he was definitely last year when he stepped up for the quarterback. I can't remember his name and I apologize. When he got hurt and was out for the year, he was coming in from Kansas. And if you have a Kansas quarterback, you're like, we're screwed. I mean, if you're a Virginia Tech fan, you had to be thinking that unless you're a diehard and saw something. But he really was one of – it's kind of like where you see in the NFL where they learn on the job. Willis was learning on the job a lot playing in the ACC. And towards the end of the year, he looked like a viable starter, one of the best quarterbacks in that conference. So I really like that Ryan Willis thing. And he's been getting his name dropped by a couple NFL podcasts I've been listening to as well. So he's right on the radar.
I think I saw somebody ask Matt about it the other day. I didn't see what Matt said.
That was one of the ones I heard it on.
So, all right, we'll march on to running backs. We'll start with Crime Dog. Crime Dog, who's a buy you have in the ACC there, man?
I had a couple here. I don't know if we have any double-ups. I guess we do. But Cam Akers was the first one, and obviously he's a well-known name, but he's definitely treated as if he's the fourth, fifth, sometime.
Yeah,
running back of this class. So, you know, what, late 2021st. I love the player. He obviously didn't benefit from that offensive line they had last year. The offense in general, it was awful. So his name's kind of taken a hit, but just more of the reason to buy now before his stock goes up, you know, come NFL draft in April. I mean, he's a great size guy. His breakout freshman year was amazing. And even able to do what he was due last year with that offensive line. So I'm fully on board with buying Cam right now, even though you're still paying a little bit more premium than these other guys. But his price is only going up right now, I think. And my other two, I put two other guys on here. But Deion Jackson from Duke, he really impressed me. He's got great size. When you watch him, he doesn't look like he's 6 foot, 220 pounds. He definitely doesn't run like that. He runs like a smaller, quicker back. Had a great year last year, over 1,100 scrimmage yards, 9 touchdowns, 26 receptions last year as well, which is really nice to see. And he looks so natural receiving the ball. He lined up a receiver on a lot of different sets and offensive situations. So just a really good talent with great size. I'm definitely keeping an eye on him. And I put an honorable mention one on here, Zonovan Knight from North Carolina State. True freshman, and this is like a deep one, but early enrollment at NC State, and his spring game, he just demolished the defense and looks so good. I don't have a ton of information on him other than watching that spring game. He popped in multiple facets of the game. So that's just kind of a name that I'm going to put on my own watch list now.
Yeah, and he's got a badass name. So
right.
That's all I care. Anyway, real quick, Andrew, your bye was also Cam. So can you explain why?
Yeah, no, I kind of like what Matt just talked about, where Florida State as a whole is on the decline.
I thought you were going to stop there. Florida State's a whole.
All right. I mean, it's a whole. It's on the decline. It's not Bobby Bowden anymore. It's not the good old boys of the South where you're going to be having them competing for a national championship every year. No, but realistically, Willie Taggart's definitely messed with that offense a little bit. And when he was in Oregon, he didn't support running backs the best when he was out there. You had a couple of them come out and weren't the best pros, but that's not that system's tough for them. But I think it was Nick Faribault was watching and posting his highlights or some stuff today about Cam Akers, and he just runs violently. Like, he'll just run right through you, almost kind of like Josh Jacobs does, where he'll come out of the backfield, catch a pass, turn upfield, and he just puts his helmet down and his pads, and he's going to get the first down and more. And because Florida State's been playing horribly, I keep piling it on Seminole fans, but Willie Taggart's making it too easy. It's all his fault. We know this. I think with Cam Akers, he's the easiest buy, I think, out of these running backs, just because he's going to be a first, second-round pick in the draft, arguably, and he's going to go to a situation where he could be a bell cow, and he's not going to have a lot of wear and tear, and he's going to come into a situation where he's really going to be able to step up and excel. I mean, if you saw Cam Akers next year in somewhere like a Houston or a Tampa or even like a Seattle, say they waste another first-round pick on a running back, how would he not be one of the top running backs in rookie drafts, especially somewhere like there? So, yeah, I think Cam Akers is an easy buy. And then, Dwight, I had to piss Matt off earlier saying sell Lawrence, and now I'm going to piss you off saying sell Etienne. Again, it kind of like you were talking about, Matt, that name, you can kind of sell the name with Lawrence. You can sell the name with Etienne, especially like if you know someone in your league is like you, Dwight, and you love Etienne. I love Etienne too. He's my top running back. They're going to pay an arm and a leg for him because they know what he's going to be in the NFL. And if, say, you're already on a loaded team and you've got him sitting there, why not just get an extra piece just to dominate your league instead of win it? So that's my thing with Etienne, is his stock's very, very high right now, and I think he's going to be a Heisman finalist. So it's just going to keep going up from there. So that's why he's a sell for me.
I'm the same boat where you can sell him for max value. I was kind of thinking, right, like, which NFL running back, like, what would you be your cutoff right now? Like Kerryon or Etienne, right? And you know, that's probably the range of where you would return right now. So if you were contending today and you needed something like that, you could probably flip him to a team who is maybe non-contending, who had a good pick last year, something like that. But if you could turn around and get something back for him today, then I could totally be on board with that. But if you have the luxury to stash him for another year, then by all means, put him in your taxi squad and sit and wait.
Right. I just disagree. Anyways, I'll agree with – I had Cam as one of mine too, just because it seems like he's fallen back off of the, you know, J.K., Jonathan Taylor, Etienne, Swift, you know, Eno Benjamin. I mean, all these guys are talked about sometimes before him. And you watch the tape, and he is elite. I mean, the traits he has are just elite. The burst, the aggression is one thing I noticed as well. His one cut and hitting the hole is just, it's stupid. And he catches passes. I mean, yeah, so I'm not going to keep elaborating on him. I'm going to go a couple other guys that you guys didn't mention. Mike, he's from Pitt. I'm going to guess it's Michael Salahuddin, I would guess. Salahuddin, I don't know, whatever. Anyways, he's a guy I really liked. I had to dive into a little bit more. I know he had offers from Syracuse, and then he kind of thought he almost went to USC, and I wanted to watch him. And you watch his high school tape, and it is ridiculous. He's got this, like, loping. I called it loping because he almost looked like an antelope the way he ran compared to everybody else. Like, he was moving at a speed but it looked so effortless. It was crazy. He sets up moves, like, really well, which you don't see a lot in high school because they don't need to. Just very effortless runner, and I'm curious to see what he does in Pitt. And Pitt tends to develop running backs really well, so I kind of like him in that system there. Another guy, you said the freshman from Penn State, from NC State, but he's got to get past Ricky Person first. I think Ricky Person's going to be the guy there. He's only going to be a sophomore. He's a bigger back, but he has a lot of really good moves. He strings together moves well. He invites contacts. He's almost impossible to bring down, but he's got patience too. And I like the way he varied speeds when he ran. Like, he would, you know, you don't see that a lot. I've seen a lot of people knock that I hadn't noticed before I started scouting, but I like how he varies his speeds when he runs and hits the holes at the right timing and stuff. So I was really impressed with him when I saw him. Do you guys have anything on either of those two?
Nope. I noted Michael, I guess it's Michael, Salahuddin. Yeah. He was. I had him on my list of guys to buy, but I just like those other guys a little bit more. So, no, I definitely liked what I saw there as well.
Right. And then Crime Dog, who's your style?
So not a great name, but there is name value, and that's why I have him as a sell. But that's Kervante Benson from Georgia Tech. Sorry, I think some people still recognize that name. He was hurt all last year, had a really good sophomore year, and like I said, he holds a little bit of name value, but he's a powerful runner. They have more of like in an H back or more of like that tailback in their system, but he's not really elite in any of his traits. And, I've seen his name in like third round of Debbie draft still. So he's one of those things where like, I'd get out now if you can get something back for him. I just don't really believe in it. And because there is a little bit of name value there, I'd be selling.
I agree. With Kervante too, Jim Nagy has already been tweeting out player names for the Senior Bowl. And that's one of the running backs that he's talked about going down to Mobile. So you talked about him being in the third round. I think if he goes down to Mobile, we see a lot of running backs every year go down there and really take the next step. And there's not a lot of senior running backs. So right. For him to go down there, he'd be able to really step up between him, Keyshawn Vaughn. Those are really the big senior name running backs.
You guys are going to laugh. I put A.J. Dillon as my sell. And then I watched more tape and I said, no, he is not a sell. This man is a man.
He's an athletic Leonard Fournette.
Grown ass man. He is exactly what we wanted Leonard Fournette to be.
When I was watching him, I was like, this is what you want Leonard Fournette to be. He may run upright, but at the same time, his feet are so much better.
Good luck trying to bring him down, even if he is upright. Good Lord. I had him as a sell, but I'm like, no. He's not quite a buy because I think everybody knows who he is, and I think he's valued probably about right where he belongs. I think
out of my running backs I've watched so far, he's my RB6.
I would agree with that. Yeah. So
yeah, and the names above him are Taylor, Vaughn, Dobbins, Swift, and Etienne. So it's tough to beat out those five.
Go to the wide receivers, Andrew. Who's your first buy?
I actually will be talking about him more than I am right now tomorrow in my Rose Ceremony article for the wide receivers, because the college football playoff and the national championship made everybody fall in love with Justin Ross. And they forgot that T. Higgins is the wide receiver one at Clemson. So while everyone's going to be looking after Ross, and I might as well just hit it now, Ross is my sell. You can get just as much, if not more, production and points and talent out of T. Higgins for way less than you can for buying Ross right now. I'm not saying Ross isn't going to be good. Ross is going to be phenomenal. He's going to be a top receiving prospect in 2021 or 2022 when he decides to come out. But as far as values, and you, Matt and I are really going to get along here, because I'm all about just what are you going to do for me now draft prospect wise? I'm all about T. Higgins over Justin Ross at this point, just because I think they're similar players for fantasy. Get whoever's cheaper. It's like if you're going to get two running backs, Kerryon or Marlon Mack, I'd probably argue that Kerryon's probably going for higher value right now in fantasy than Marlon Mack, but I think Marlon Mack's probably going to be the better fantasy player. So enough of the non-Devy talk. But regardless, I would rather go for the cheaper value, and I think that's Higgins, and I think Ross just has too high of a price tag, so if you own him, to sell him.
Beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep. The views of my crazy ass co-hosts do not exactly reflect the Debbie Happy Hour's true beliefs. Justin Ross is a badass man.
I'm not saying he's not good.
I mean, I'm also selling Ross, and it's for a lot of what Andrew's saying, but it's also, we just talked about it, he's not eligible till 2021. What if he can get hurt in between now and then, he stays another year, doesn't come out till 2022. There's a lot of life that could happen between now and then, and love the player. But yeah, I forget who it was. One of the big analysts on NFL Network or whatever was saying, this is the best wide receiver prospect we've ever seen. And after the national championship game, right. And his name value is as high as it could be. And love the player. If I could stash him for 3 years, I 100% will. But if I'm getting people who are seeing what the general, population is seeing and wanting to grab that guy and put him on their team, I'll for sure sell for max value today, and not have to worry about sending him on my bench for a couple of years.
All right. So while we're here, I have a question for you guys. I have a trade on the table right now. The guy wants to give me, my team's not win now, but it could be all right now. He wants to trade me Leonard Fournette and Sony Michel for Justin Ross and Cam Akers. also kind of a, I think there's like a rookie bump too.
Like, so who were you giving up, Leonard Fournette and who?
No, I would be giving up Cam and Justin.
Oh.
He wants to give me Fournette and Michelle.
Just sit on him. I would keep Akers and Ross.
That's kind of where I'm leaning.
I would honestly think you can get more for Ross, personally.
That's, I would think too. But
I'm on the same boat there. Plus, like, Sony's got too many red flags right now.
Yeah, that's just
the health. You got the two running backs with the most red flags.
Right, but if they both work out, they're both really good, so it's just kind of one of those things. I don't think I'm going to do it, but
if I was really contending and I didn't hate those guys' health situations or whatever, I'd consider that more than
what we just hated.
But
as I said, if I was like a running back away, I think I would do it, but I'm not. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I think I have Judy in that league too, so I'm okay if I get rid of Ross. So. All right, I actually have – I'm going to – real quick before we go too much deeper, I have a sell on T. Higgins, and this is why. I think he's getting talked about in the top three or four wide receivers next year. So I think he's got that great value, or he does have, you know, that pedigree. But I think he's too thin. I think he's tall and thin. He's rail thin. I mean, he's got this great, insane catch radius that makes these huge plays, and he mismatches on the outside, but he doesn't run after the catch. He's slow. He's really slow, like 4.7, 4.6 slow. And like, I worry how he's going to do in the NFL. So I actually would sell him based on his name. You may not get as much as you get for Ross. I mean, I understand that, but I actually don't see him being very good in the NFL. That's, I know I'm crazy, but because I saw Matt Miller put him like second or third in the class next year.
Yeah, I mean, my article coming out tomorrow, like I have one receiver from every conference, and it's literally, I think the top six receivers for next year are really going to be one from each conference. And I think Higgins, I mean, you've got Lamb, Chenault, Judy, who no one's going to touch, to compete with. I mean, he'll be a top five receiver. It's just
going to – And I think he'll be good in the NFL, but he won't be as good as those guys. I would rather have any of those guys.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but we're not.
And he's getting mentioned. He's getting mentioned. I think you could get good value for him. I just don't see it translating in the NFL very well. I think he'll be all right. But
even if you could use him in another piece to move up or to trade up in player value to get a Judy or, you know, one of these other guys that maybe somebody or a Chenault, who still is in some circles, his name isn't as known. But if you could take Higgins plus something and go get Chenault, then yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I would. So that's just maybe my craziness, but I've watched enough of him to know that. And I see what you guys say about Ross, that the value you can get for him right now is crazy. So, all right, Crime Dog, who's your buys for the conference?
Well, you mentioned his name earlier, but that's Damon Hazleton from Virginia Tech. I really like that player, man. And he just popped off. He's got great size. He's 6'2", 222. He transferred from Ball State after his freshman year. Just got a ton of upside. And he's not a really well-known name. Obviously, we're dropping names like the guys that we're talking about. But just shows a lot of ability, a lot of high point ability. Goes, gets that football. Very flashy. I don't want to say Josh Doctson at TCU style, but I mean, Josh Doctson, I feel like all of his catches were like highlight reel style, and Damon Hazleton has a lot of similarities like that to me, but he's a bigger body guy, so that's kind of nice too. And my other buy is a guy that I loved after his freshman year, and that was Dez Fitzpatrick, although his freshman year was with Lamar Jackson, a much lower season, or, you know, not as great of a season last year, but another guy, 6'2", 200 pounds. He's a guy that I'd be wanting to buy now because he's so cheap. I mean, you see him going fourth round, maybe fifth round at Debbie drafts, so cheap, in hopes that he can come back to what I thought he could be after his freshman year. So not a, you know, crazy name right now, but I've seen it from him, and I seen him when he was 18, and I feel like he's still got, you know, he could be really good. So I'd be wanting to buy and hope that stock rises over the next year.
Right. Those are two guys that I think could be, take that leap into that, you know, second tier, maybe coming out next. I think Hazleton will come out next year, right? Or could.
Yes, could.
Dez is a redshirt junior, so he definitely can. Yep. I think both of those guys are poised. They could take a step. I do like both of those guys as guys that could, you know, go farther. And I would definitely buy them because you can get both of them pretty damn cheap, I think.
Right. a kid's toy plan.
Anyways,
you're gonna die, clown.
that
sums up my takes perfectly.
Yeah, my guys are a couple, you know, a little bit deeper guys, but not crazy deep. But Jeremiah Payton from Miami kind of gets lost in the freshmen that are coming in. There's some really high, both of mine are actually freshman guys that are coming in. He's just a really, like, I was watching his tape from high school, and the quarterback was so bad. And he threw it, like, within the same zip code, Payton caught it. And I was just amazed by how he adjusted to the ball and came back and, like, skied over these guys. I mean, it's high school, you know, so these guys are, you know, probably working at the Quick Mart right now, most of them. But so, I mean, it was still amazing to see the way he adjusted in his hands, the way he tracked the ball. He's so, so quick. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do in Miami, and hopefully he can grow with Tate there and Tate Martell and stuff, and hopefully Tate can get him the ball. And then another guy, Joseph Nata, definitely not a name that is, like, if you know Debbie, you know who Joseph Nata is. He's a five-star guy, but he's going to be the next one that's going to come up the pipeline that could be as good as, like, the Justin Ross and stuff like that. It wasn't quite as heralded as Ladson. I think Frank Ladson's probably a little more well-known. But I like Nata's versatile skill set. He runs out of in high school, he ran out of all kinds of different formations. He used them all over, his sideline awareness. His hands are ridiculous. So I like him a lot. I actually liked him a lot better watching his tape than I did Frank Ladson. So that's another guy I would grab.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dwight. So Joseph Nata's from a couple hours from here at Folsom High School. And I've been hearing about him since his sophomore year of high school, and was blown away by that dude's size, ability, all that at that age. I was like, wait, he's like 15. And just watching him over the past couple of years. And Folsom is a great high school. They've been in the state championship for multiple years in a row. So he's been a big name out here. Right. And playing with Clemson, man, I was like, whoa, like, to watch this kid from Folsom, this really small area. It's a kind of a little mountain town, hill town, you know, take his way all the way up there, man. So that was really cool to see. And I'm definitely on that train right now.
Right. I was impressed by how they used him. Like, they use him in. They use him like you don't see high schools use players, you know, like he was all over the formation. And kind of like how Purdue uses Rondell Moore, right? Just all over the place, which I thought was pretty impressive to watch in high school. Then myself is Tamarian Terry from Florida State. I keep seeing people get him like early in Debbie drafts, like not crazy early, but like third, fourth round. And I just don't see it. He's a deep threat. And then I don't know if he's going to show much else in that horrible, horrible offense. So if you want to take him, I will sell him every day of the week. I just see him as a deep guy who's not going to be anything in the NFL. So that's all I got, guys, for wide receivers. But there's a lot of good wide receivers in the ACC. So
yeah, and the ACC's loaded at receiver. And we'll talk about my buys and sells at tight ends in a minute and how it's not loaded at tight end. But I have to do a quick intermission here. I just want a small argument with my wife. So if I die and don't do the rest of the show, that's why.
Yeah, okay,
we'll actually talk. We'll go ahead and talk for a minute. Crime Dog, who's your set or buy at tight end? I see we agreed. So
yeah, we do. And man, the super talented. That's Brevin Jordan. Brevin, I believe is how you pronounce his name, right? From Miami. He's got a lot of talent, man. He is a super athletic, really high ceiling, number one tight end out of his class. And then I give, you know, that's a bias, I guess, but I give Miami tight ends a nod or just a right. little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people do, right? But it's hard to get rid of that little notion. But I really liked him. Hopefully with everything else we're talking about, buying Tate Martell, a couple of these other players, if that offense can take a step forward, he could shine, and he doesn't have to put up a ton of stats to be, you know, could be tight end one coming out or, you know, the top tight end drafted in his class in the NFL. We've seen you don't have to be a super stat guy to be a big name in the NFL draft. So really talented. And
anyways, I saw the same thing. I was so impressed with the tape of that guy. Like, he was the number one tight end for the 2018 class, but I saw them line him up at wide receiver and just watch him go over the middle and into the red zone. Holy shit, that guy gets the ball.
Yeah.
He does not let anybody fight. He puts himself in position. He stays with the pass. He fights off guys. He's got good moves. You know, they're not, like, amazing. He's still a tight end,
right.
But he jukes well. And I would the fact that Andrew put none in this class, he has obviously never seen Brevin Jordan. But, yeah, I think he's – if you put one tight end in the ACC that you would buy, it's Brevin Jordan. I mean, it's got to be, man. And I actually took him in a Devy mock in, like, the eighth round today. So I was pretty happy with that. Another guy that I had was Kerry Angeline, NC State. Kind of a raw guy, very highly touted, but big, big athletic dude, 6'7", 260. Caught 9 passes as a redshirt sophomore with only 1 touchdown. So he didn't, you know, light it up by any means at NC State. But he's got this athleticism for his size. And he is raw, very, very raw. But he has a chance to do something at NC State. And, you know, this division doesn't have much for tight ends past Brevin Jordan. So there wasn't really a whole lot that I picked. I went through names and everything, and I didn't find anything that I was really overly impressed with. So Andrew's buys and sells don't exactly surprise me, and I can kind of sort of understand him. I had trouble finding somebody that I would sell out of here that you could get any sort of value out of.
And my thing is, I'm the draft guy in this group. I mean, it's known at this point. Whoever's going to be coming out in this upcoming draft class, Devy Wise, is who I'm going to be focusing on the most, because that's who I'm watching based on who I'm writing for, what I'm writing about. So Dwight, you're the crazy, I'm going to go as far back as preschool guy. And Matt, you're going to be the in-between guy at this point. And I think I'm going to be the college football draft guy. There's nobody in the ACC.
Do you not? We were talking shit about you when you were off the air. Do you not see it with Brevin Jordan?
I haven't watched as much of him. And that's the thing where
he's nasty.
I know coming up is a lot better than what's right now as far as tight end in the ACC, because right now it seems like it's the Midwest conferences, like the Big Ten and the Big 12 and some Pac-12. You've got Colby Parkinson at Stanford, who are really thriving with the tight ends. But I think the ACC's transitioning to where they're just becoming offensive powerhouses, kind of like the Big 12 is, while putting out some defense. Yeah. I think, like you talked about with Jordan coming up, I think once I get to watch more of him, he would be more on my radar. I'm just being realistic and honest with everyone. I'm just so into NFL draft stuff.
Well, get him on your radar, man, because he's like, he reminds me of Jeremy Shockey. I'm not going to lie.
I'm glad you said that. That's exactly what I was thinking.
He's nasty. Yeah. I love watching him play. So, yeah, he just has that, you know, when he gets that, when the ball goes over the middle, he's going to get it. He's going to F you up. Like, I loved watching him play. I was really shocked. The only thing I didn't like is they used him more as a wide receiver. I didn't see him line up as tight end hardly at all. So, but yeah, in Crime Dog, you had 1 sell. So,
It was hard. I mean, yeah, you know, as hard as it was to find some buys, it was hard to find a sell. I put Brandon Fritz on here from North Carolina. Really, I've seen him pop up on a couple of, like, watch lists. So that's how he ended up becoming on my sell list. So if he's gaining any type of attention at all, he's not. He tries way too hard. He thinks he's a really athletic tight end. He's trying to hurdle guys and everything else. He doesn't look that good doing it. He was actually trying to transfer this offseason, didn't work. So he's having to stay there, although now he says he wants to stay there, right? But because I've seen him pop up on a couple Devy watch lists, for me, I'm selling if there's anybody that's looked at that article and goes, oh, who's this guy? So, yeah, I can get him. But that's a hard sell because, you know, we're talking deep now.
Time for listener questions. Bow, bow, bow. That's my DJ sound effect. All right, we got a bunch of listener questions this week. Sorry, I kind of transitioned to some cheesy DJ guy there or something. But anyways, we have a lot of user questions this week. We're going to try to go through listener questions. Why did I call him user? Good Lord, I work in IT too much. The user. All right, first one. I love this. This is from DJ David EJ Berger, who, in case you didn't know, he has an Emmy. David's awesome. How much will Max Borgi's stock rise this year? And is Tamarian Terry underrated because he didn't have a quarterback to truly unlock him last year? First, we'll start with Borgi. Do you guys think his stock's going to rise any this year?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no. And I mean, he's getting enough talk at this point. He's quickly going from being a buy to a sell, kind of like we've been talking about this whole episode with everybody else. I definitely think he's more on everybody's radar, and he's definitely been more on mine lately, and I've been trying to watch more of him too.
Right. Yeah, he's a guy that, I mean, it sucks because of how this class is, you know. It's going to be hard for him to break through, but you watch him, and he's fun to watch. So I think He's going to rise some.
He's another 2021 eligible guy, right? He's a freshman this last year.
I was checking. I thought he was a sophomore.
Yeah, he's 2021.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My bad. My bad, guys. So, yeah, he's got a chance to break through in that class then, yeah.
You kind of already slapped him to be Julian Edelman's replacement. Call it good.
Yeah, the only thing I would worry about is how Washington State typically uses running backs is not the greatest.
Yeah, ask James Williams how the week he's had.
Anyways, and then as far as Tamarian Terry, I talked about him above. I don't think he's underrated. I feel like he's overrated if anything, but
yeah,
that's my opinion.
Yeah, I actually just added him to a list of players I'm going to watch this coming weekend. So, yeah, I'll have more of a firm opinion on him. But I think he potentially could be someone like Cam Akers who suffered because of that system, and the way Willie Taggart uses wide receivers is just horrendous.
Right. All right. Dynasty Fantasy Wizard asked, Judy or Swift, who would you rather have going into the pros?
Judy.
Judy is me. Yep.
Still like the biggest Swift fan that there is, but even I'm leaning Judy.
Yeah, Judy's he's a beast, man. I saw someone try to call him out today, and it was funny. But they were saying that he was just constantly wide open. Like, there's a reason why he was wide open.
Constantly wide open.
He burned people. His moves are stupid. Just go away. Twitter trolls. All right, the 2020 class has been – this is from John Monger. The 2020 class has been talked about as loaded. Is that truly the case, even if some stay in school? Is this another next year's class is better type of thing?
It's truly loaded. That loaded. It's yeah.
I think we've talked about it before. Like, four people could stay, and it's still loaded. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, I mean, it's really, truly loaded. 2021's good, too. I mean, it is. Yeah. We've talked this – you know, we've brought up some 2021 guys as well. 2021 is going to be fun, but 2020 has a chance to be super duper special.
Yeah. Buy the 2021st right now because you're not getting 2021st right now.
Yeah. No, everybody's getting, yeah. I almost had to give up my 6-year-old the other day for a 2021st.
I was going to say, just to address that further to cement that, I got grades through tight ends done. And out of quarterbacks, I've got 3 quarterbacks ranked higher than anyone that was in this class. I have 10 or 8 running backs who were better than anyone in this class. And I have both the Oklahoma running backs, Trey Sermon and Kennedy Brooks, with the same grade as Josh Jacobs. So really, I've got 10 that could have been RB1 in this class. And then for receivers, all 10 are higher than anybody that was in this class. The only thing that this class is better in is tight end, just because there's no Hawk, there's no Noah Fant right yet. Parkinson, Alberto, Calcaterra are from Oklahoma are projecting well, but 2020 is insane. It's just absolutely insane. Great receiver.
And as far as us degenerates, it's pretty damn good defensively too. It may not be as good as 2019, but it's pretty damn close.
I think the edge talent's better.
Yeah, Chase Young and AJ Epenesa are probably better than anything that we have in this class.
Yeah, I'd probably take both of them.
There's a guy that could break the NFL. That could break the NCAA sack record. And Clavon Chason, I think is how you pronounce his name. It's going to be fun. It's going to be – I wish I could go to Vegas next year. I really do, because I think the draft's going to be that much fun to watch.
Senior Bowl is going to be fun. There's a lot of good seniors on defense.
Right. We're gonna talk McGriff into getting there with us. So.
Oh, that's not too far for me, yeah.
Hey, Albright drove from Colorado, so you can just drive down with him.
Take your snowshoes. If you start now, you'll be there by the time January comes. Exactly. Anyways, all right. This next guy, I'm scared of his name. I think he's probably Polynesian as well, so I'm sorry. We're just going to call you Kiwe. Startup for round Devi draft in a PPR Superflex. Who are 3 guys that you like out of the top 10 that have good potential? Startup 4 round Devi draft in a PPR Superflex. Who are 3 guys you like that are out of the top 10 that have good potential?
Cool. Devi rankings up on Dynasty Happy Hour.
Yeah, there are just tons. Yeah. I mean, I've talked up and down about Seth Williams. He's a guy I really like. A couple quarterbacks that could slide down out of the top 10, you know, that you need to grab.
There's a ton of running backs.
I'll tell you who I really like, and he had a down year, but Brian Edwards from South Carolina is generally going in the second round of Devi drafts now, and it feels like stealing when you get him there, but – he is a stud. He is, he's one that, if you're talking about buys, you know, buy him now. His name has definitely gone down.
Yeah, he'll be a second round pick in the NFL draft. But if he would have been in like any other year, it's one of those cases where he would have been a first round pick in like this class, just because him and Debo just dominated the SEC. DeAndre Baker, CJ Henderson. So no, Brian Edwards, I really, really love him. Glad you said his name.
Another guy climbing, or maybe not climbing yet, but I know Dwight had brought him up on your guys' last pod, but that's Seth Williams from Auburn. He's also going late second, early third in some, I guess. So he's another name. That's great value there.
Yeah, I'm in an industry mock right now. Here's some guys that are down. Tylan Wallace is falling into – that's – he's got potential to be stupid.
Yeah, and, I like him a lot.
Dylan, we just talked about. Trey Sanders. Garrett Wilson from Ohio State is going to be a stud. Not a Tua – well, Tua, not a super flex. Yeah, there's some names. I mean, geez. There's some guys. Rashad Bateman from Minnesota is really good. There's a bunch of names. Like, yeah, just look at some of these mock drafts, and there's just a lot of names that are falling.
Yeah. I actually think, you know, it's so hard to get a 2020 first right now, but get some 2020 seconds and be really happy with some of those guys that are
being pushed. Oh, Lord, yes. Yeah, you can get seconds and be just as good, man.
Yeah, me and Dwight had a draft in Dynasty Degenerates, and it was like, what, round 15? And I think someone offered us a 2020 second and like a 19th round pick, and I was like, well, screw it. I know how deep this class is going to be. I'll take a 2020 second over someone you're getting in the 15th round as a startup.
Yeah.
We're going to go through this one kind of quick. This is a really complex one. Fantasy graphics guy asked, what's the best way to add Devy into your league after 6 years of non-Devy? When to draft, allow Devy rights to be traded, how many Devy spots, combined or separate? Just real quick, this is something we tend to cover more on Devy Owner's Manual. It's easy to do. You just have to kind of – you have to plan for it, obviously. I would say just add a couple rounds. You know, you're going to want to do it. Usually the Devy drafts when you add are like before the rookie drafts, you know, and they don't include the rookies, obviously. I would suggest just a couple rounds, 2-3 rounds maybe. Definitely a separate draft. Yeah, you can – I mean, you can allow trading or whatever. You could say, like, every team will have 2 rounds and 2 Devy players, and they can trade them if they want, you know, but stick to what you stick to. I wouldn't recommend adding, like, 10 rounds of Devy after not having that many years of non-Devy. I would just do a couple rounds and do it, like, in February. It's kind of tricky, but you definitely got to make sure you're upfront with it because some people are probably not going to like it. Some people are just absolutely against it. But I think if you just do 2 rounds, you're not going to scare anybody. So that would be my – what do you guys think? Anything?
No, I mean, that's really it. You just don't want to kind of – don't want to go full bore into it. You kind of want to ease into it.
Yeah, it's definitely got to be separate. You can't combine it with anything. That's just mean. JT Maynard asked, dive into some deeper running backs like Benny LeMay or Deion Jackson. That's something we're just going to kind of – that's a hard question. We all have names. But that's something we're going to cover a lot in the next couple of weeks on our buys and sells. And then as the season go along, do you guys have any names off the top of your tongue that you can think of? Or?
I mean, we talked about Deion Jackson today, so that's one. But
I'm just looking over my running back list even for this year.
That's one, too.
I'm thinking schools like Alabama and other ACC schools and just Pac-12. Once we get into more of the bigger conferences, there are 3-4 solid recruits deep. I think that's when you're going to kind of hear more about those names, especially from you two, and then where's me hitting the guys who are starting.
Crime Dog and I talked about before the show, Keyshawn Mons getting some traction. That's a name you've got to know. You know, or like those guys at those schools, like Andrew just talked about, you know, like Zamir White and James Cook, you know, either of those guys could be just absolutely awesome. You know, here's some names. Muhammad Ibrahim from Minnesota. You got to know him. He's a name that Zach Moss, another one. Stevie Scott from Indiana. I mean, there's names. Just kind of keep track of it. Like, listen to us. You know, watch the Devy mocks that come out and stuff. I'm in one of the Greg Brandt. If you don't know him, follow him on Twitter. He's really good with those. He's always doing Devy mocks and things like that. So keep an eye on that. He's usually gets some guys that really know what they're doing, and they – well, I say that because I'm included. But anyways, other guys that know what they're doing, you know, and they have some pretty good ones. So, yeah, it's one that I like a lot.
even keeping it in the ACC, Michael Carter from North Carolina, he's one to watch. Let's see, who else do we have on that list? But Abdul Adams from Syracuse. I mean, it goes on and on.
Yeah, a lot of names. Kyle LaPointe asked, who is the best OU freshman five-star receiver if you rank them today between Weiss, Bridges, and Hazelwood? I personally like Hazelwood more than Weiss, but not by much. And I would put Bridges, you know, quite a bit behind them. Weiss and Hazelwood are both amazing talents and could both be the man in Oklahoma. So I think you can't go wrong with either of those. I think if I had to choose, I would take Hazelwood. Do you have any thought on that, man?
I defer to you, and I believe that you're right. All so, right.
All right. Melo Vader asks, is there anyone who has NFL rankings with Debbie included? And not that I know of, Melo, honestly.
I think you're right. I mean, that's a good opportunity there.
Yeah, it's something I've thought about, but it's so complex because there are so many things with scoring and league settings, and it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare to do rankings with just offensive, let alone add Debbie in too. So all I can say is that typically Debbie, if you do a startup or whatever, typically you don't see Debbie players go off till the fifth or sixth round, and you know they usually go pretty quickly thereafter. So if I would do a set of rankings, it would be like the top 60 would be like your normal 60 rankings. And then you'd start to throw in, you know, I mean, if it's super flex, you're going to get like your Trevor Lawrence will probably go before that, you know, and then you're going to start getting your ETN and your Swift, you know, down in the 70s. But as far as I know, there's nobody that does that. And it's because it's just so complex and there's so many different things right. to think about. So, and Melo also asked, I took the Mizzou tight end. We call him Alberto here. Around 10th this year of the 15th possible Debbie in our two tight end league. Not sure how we did. I could have gone with the next guy after Fromm instead. Super flex thoughts. That's great. I think Alberto is going to be amazing. So that's a good pick. Yeah. So this one I want to save. MX Racing Honda asked, who's the Florida running back to own? I wish we had Andrew because that's Andrew's wheelhouse. I personally don't want to own any of them, but that's just me. I think Lamichael Perrine, if I had to pronounce his name, is probably the guy to own there.
LaMichael.
Dude, you just made me feel stupid. Yeah, it probably is LaMichael.
I read that like six times as well. I think I heard it somewhere. I'm not going to pretend like I knew.
Aaron. Aaron. I was trying too hard to pronounce it.
No, all right. I did the same thing.
Scott Connor, who's ranked the following? This is a rough question. Tracer, Chuba Hubbard, Kyla Hill, Zach Moss, AJ Dillon, Anthony McFarland, Najee Harris, and Keyshawn Vaughn. Okay, off the cuff here, I would go Najee, AJ Dillon.
Keyshawn, maybe.
Yeah, probably Keyshawn or Chuba. But I think after Najee, AJ, after those two, I think the rest of those are all pretty damn close to me.
Yeah.
I would almost put Keyshawn, McFarland, Moss, Hill, and Sermon in like a tier by themselves.
Yeah.
Like I think I would go Najee and AJ before any of the other ones, but those other ones are all pretty damn close.
I mean, this goes back to that previous question. Who are some guys later? Like all these guys, almost all of them will be available in the second, if not some of them in the third round.
Right. So that's what I know. That's a cop-out to take a tier, but I think that's how I would go. I would probably put, like you said, Keyshawn, maybe McFarland. I'd like to see more from McFarland. Zach Moss is, he's good.
I like him a lot.
Kylan Hill is amazing. Yeah. So I would put all those other guys in a tier and kind of interchangeable. Trey Sermon's kind of, I don't know. I'm not sure about him as much. So,
but
he's got the pedigree. All right. Jerry Sinclair asked, which NFL running back would you trade to get Eno Benjamin, if any? That's tough.
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, it all depends. Like, if you have guys on your team that you don't believe in that are on your bench, honestly, like I'm a big fan of just rotating that bench. So if you got a guy, let's just go down the list here because there's some guys you're not going to trade for him. Let's just say you don't trust Royce Freeman and you weren't a fan of him, and you know,
I'd trade Royce in a heartbeat.
Right. I'm just going to. I mean, are you trading Chris Carson for him? Maybe. I mean, I doubt it because you're expecting Chris Carson to give you points this year.
I wouldn't trade like Aaron Jones. I wouldn't trade.
No.
Like anything above that, probably.
Yeah.
Tariq I would trade Lamar Miller for him. Yeah. I mean, the older guys toward the end of their. But as far as anyone that has a couple years left, no, I wouldn't trade him. I mean, Eno's, right. I love Eno, but there's still a lot of questions with him. So, all right. Last question is from Cameron the Hammer. This one we're going to address more on the Dynasty Owner Manual. This is a very complex question. I don't play Devy. How does it work? Is there a rookie draft for players not on the Devy list, or do those rookies go straight to waiver? That's really tricky. Every league's different. Typically, Devys don't ever end up on the waivers. So, like, you'll never see a Devy player on the waiver. That's not how it goes. You draft them, and that's it. You know, so, like, they're on your team. Yeah, it's just like drafting rookies, except you draft them before they go to college, and you get to have them for, you know, until they go to, you know, forever, basically. And their rookie draft for players not on the Devy list. And basically, like, every year you'll have a rookie draft after the Devy draft, and the rookie draft will just be, like, the guys. Like, this year, most people didn't have Kyler Murray. So Kyler Murray was on the rookie drafts. You know, there's always guys that slip through the cracks. Josh Jacobs was in a lot of rookie drafts this year because he wasn't on a lot of Devy picks. But yeah, every year there'll be guys that slip through the cracks. But I mean, Baker Mayfield was a good example last year. Like, almost nobody had Baker Mayfield in Devy leagues. So you typically do a Devy draft and then a rookie draft. And the rookie draft is just guys that are going into the NFL that nobody had beforehand.
And I'd say, Cameron, the main thing is, man, find you one of these Devy leagues that are starting up all over Twitter. Get in one of those and do your first test run. It's a lot of fun. You're probably not going to go back. But it plays both ways. Like Dwight's saying, like, Jacobs wasn't on in most of those rookie drafts or Devy drafts, where 2 years ago, Bo Scarborough was going top three, right? Before. So it plays both ways. You got to do a little more college homework, but it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I would recommend not going too deep. I mean, don't go into a league that requires you to have 15 Devys, because you're just going to be reading lists and scouring for names that you don't have any idea about. So I would definitely recommend, like, 3 to 5, you know, to start out with, until you get, unless you really watch college football a lot and you love college football and you're willing to do the research and you have time, then by all means, jump feet first. But if you get in, I think he won't come out, but I also think that about IDP too. So a lot of people don't agree with that. So anyways, that wraps our show up, man. That we had a lot of information in this show. Real quick, Crime Dog, tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter and what you're working on right now, man.
So I'm on Twitter at Commissioner Griff, and now I'm working on this. So I'm extremely excited and honored that you guys and Tyler bringing me on to be a part of this thing that I enjoy listening to every week. Like I was telling you before we started, my daughter sings the Devy Happy Hour song all the time. So this is clearly on daddy's rotation, but super excited about this. This is, you know, I'm pumped. I'm also working on a Pac-12 and Mountain West breakdown. I'm over here on the West Coast, so I watch these games a lot more closely. And going to do a full kind of breakdown of all the teams in both the Pac-12 and the Mountain West. And maybe we'll save that for its own podcast breakdown. Also, still writing some articles on DHH, and I'm working on a big one right now that's comparing the 2019 class and the 2020 class with a couple of other guys from DHH. So there's that, and whatever else. So it's just a lot shaking, but I'm really pumped, man. I'm glad to be on here with you guys.
Cool, man. Andrew, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find all my stuff on Twitter, especially with my wife going to be gone in Hawaii. I'm going to be on all there more at Mandrew NFL Draft. I've got my wide receiver rose ceremony coming out today when this comes out, I'm assuming. And then from there, we're going to be doing more Devy stuff. We're kind of getting more. Now that we're getting the big conferences, hype's kind of getting brought up. Dwight, you are really excited to record tonight. And I think all of us are just kind of getting excited. We're less than 80 days from the NFL, which means we're even closer to college football. So yeah, just keep checking out for our stuff on there at Mandrew NFL Draft.
You can find me on Twitter at FF Peebles Champ. We're doing lots of stuff with DLF right now. I'm writing some articles about IDP Devy prospects to watch because I'm that crazy. And just kind of enjoying watching tape and enjoying the summer. I think Andrew and I are planning on being at the Midwest Fantasy Sports Convention in Canton, Ohio in August. So if anybody's heading that way, make sure you say hi to us while we're out there. And find the pod on Twitter at Devy Happy Hour. Send us email at Devy Happy Hour at gmail.com. And we will talk to you guys next week.